Vendor Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 311. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight we have Harrison Milfeld.
Howdy, everybody!
And Holly Felmuth.
Hello, everyone.
On tonight's show, we have our three-part structure. We're going to start with what we've been playing, move on to the Nintendo news, and finally finish with a piece entitled The Best Nintendo Sports Games.
I hope Cricket's on there, for your sake. Imagine a Nintendo Cricket game. I'm sure or the American audience out there, except for a few, would not know what is going on, especially on there, but I'm sure it would sell in some certain territories, including India, probably Australia, and maybe, obviously, in the UK.
Yeah, definitely, and I think when we get to that segment, we'll kind of see kind of how vast Nintendo has tread in the breadth of different sports they've tried out. And it's interesting kind of which ones they go back to nowadays. But yeah, definitely in the early days, they were doing lots of different experimentation with different sports. To kickstart us, though, in what we've been playing. Yeah, Holly, would you like to start us off and let us know what you've been playing?
Well, I haven't been playing anything particularly new. Last weekend felt like I just needed a break from just playing games that, yeah, well, you know, as a blogger, you think I gotta play the biggest variety of games that I can. And that is actually one thing I like about, you know, being kind of a Nintendo blogger is because I am open to play just about anything, but after a while, you just kind of want to play whatever you want to play. You don't want to feel obligated to play a particular game. So this past week, I just kind of gave myself a break from that and played a little bit of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D and Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, because I'm just a huge Zelda fan and I can play Zelda any day of the week. So yeah, just taking a little break.
So if you can refresh my memory, is this the first time you've played the 3DS version of Ocarina of Time?
No, I've had it for a while. I got it as close to launch as I could, and I also got the Club Nintendo soundtrack that you got for registering the game on time. I was barely on time for that. I was kind of freaking out.
I had a hard time deciding between that and the poster set, really. But then I kind of realized, you know, posters, I could easily lose them. Well, not lose them, but they'll just deteriorate. Whereas the soundtrack, that's forever for me.
Yeah. And being, you know, a huge music fan, it's nice to have physical copies of CDs, especially Nintendo soundtracks, because those are not a normal thing that you just pick up anywhere. So, yeah, my game took probably like a week to arrive because I ordered it from Amazon. And that entire week, I was just stressing out, wondering whether I was going to get my copy of the soundtrack just, you know, for registering the game. I thankfully did, so, you know, that's all over and that's great. But yeah, I've had Ocarina of Time basically ever since it came out and have played through it. I started the Master Quest, which is something I hadn't experienced before, but I actually have not finished that. I think I'm in, or I have beaten the Forest Temple after Link goes forward in time. So just like the first dungeon after Link gets old. And yeah, I should get back into that, but I don't know. I can't imagine it being as relaxing as just playing through a game that I've probably beaten like 100 times by now. So someday I'll finish the Master Quest, but not today.
Yeah, no, Master Quest is, you know, I have played it, but I've not completed it either. I'm just curious though, how different you find kind of the dungeons compared to the original game? It's been a while since I have played the Master Quest.
They were surprisingly different to me. I mean, I knew they were going to be mirrored, which of course they are. But the puzzles are like vastly different. I mean, the layout of the dungeons is essentially the same, but the puzzles are just way different. And they're fairly challenging sometimes. But I haven't quite gotten to the Water Temple. I kind of dread getting to the Water Temple on the Master Quest.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I have done the Master Quest version of the Water Temple. I might try and seek that out soon.
You know, with the Water Temple in the original Ocarina of Time, I know when the first time we played it, it got a lot of flack just for being how frustrating it is. But I think probably once you go back to it many years later, it's something that time has not really, no pun intended, sorry, that time has actually not been fortunate to it. Because, you know, you go back and you realize, it wasn't that too bad. I mean, once you get used to it.
Especially with the 3DS version as well, because they did a few alterations to make it a bit more streamlined. They made it, like, color-coded and a few little tweaks here and there. After the reputation it got. So it'd be interesting, playing that version to the original N64 version nowadays.
I find the Water Temple frustrating and, not necessarily frustrating, but I find it difficult every single time I do it. And I've beaten Ocarina of Time. Like I say, I probably have beaten it like 100 times. So, you know, every time is like, the horror is almost fresh every time. The horror of the Water Temple. But,
don't,
you know, I guess it's a little easier.
It could be the title for the next Zelda game. I quite like the sound of that.
The horror of the Water Temple. Shard of Nightmare, whatever.
Yeah, everybody will be picking that one up. It's like, wait, you mean this thing has water temples all over? No dice.
Yeah, nothing but water temple. It might not sell very well.
I guess some people don't like the water temple in Twilight Princess much either. I at least know one person who despises that temple. I don't mind it that bad, although I sometimes forget to go back. Well, I don't remember what you have to do to get the boss key, but I swear if you forget to grab it, you have to do a ton of backtracking. So, yeah, I've been irritated by that temple as well. But I don't know. It's not as bad as the Water Temple in Ocarina of Time, if you ask me.
I don't know. I think as far as Water Temples in terms of difficulty, the one from Majora's Mask was the one that kind of upped up the difficulty and frustrations with that.
I have never played Majora's Mask all the way through, I'm afraid.
It is a tricky game. It's just, you know, completely different to the rest of the series. So it's kind of quite easy to, you know, jump from one Zelda to the next. But yeah, Majora's just kind of throws a spanner in the works in terms of the whole 3-day cycle. And getting your head around, you've got to do dungeons within a certain time limit, or else you're going to have to start from scratch again.
Yeah, that was something I could not get, you know? And so I kind of gave up on Majora's Mask pretty quick after I started it. But one of these days, I'm telling you, I'm going to get through it. That's actually one of the reasons I'm not currently buying a lot of new video games, is because I have such a huge backlog. I got to start working on these other games. And so just hanging in there. I told Harrison this last week when we did the podcast. I skipped out on Child of Light, which I thought looked great. And I think I would love that game. But my backlog, I need to put at least a dent in that. So we're playing old games.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I think that makes a nice transition, really. You mentioned Child of Light on the eShop. It's a game which has caught my interest, but it's not one I've actually downloaded yet. But I have downloaded recently released Scram Kitty and His Buddy on Rails, which is it's a Wii U exclusive. And it's a weird kind of platformer / shooter, but you, as the name suggests, you kind of you're stuck onto these rails as you kind of go around the levels. But there's also jumping involved and kind of some galaxy-esque gravity platforming type puzzles, as you can kind of like fling your way around different spheres. And it's a pretty awesome game. I've not played a tremendous amount of it yet. But it has this really, really cool art style, really sharp graphics. And just so far, it's kind of just, you know, it's got a really good feeling about it. It feels like a very original game. I'm eagerly anticipating putting a lot more time into this game. The only real downside I could think of immediately is that it is a, you know, single-player only game. There's no, like, two-player co-op, which feels like that would be a good fit, but it does have like a spectators mode, so you kind of ideally play this game, you know, exclusively looking at the gamepad, and what's on the TV is just kind of like the spectator's mode. And so it's kind of just got a more impressive version of what you're actually doing on the TV. And so the camera might pan out more and show you, you know, show people watching, you know, more things which are actually happening, and just make it look a bit more frantic. But you can just kind of look down on the gamepad and just kind of focus on a more traditional view of the game. And also on the TV, you get like this, I'm not sure if it is Scram Kitty or not, but you get a cat pop up and he gives you, or the viewer, kind of these commentary on how you're playing the game.
And does it tell you basically, you're not doing well, Lewis, I'm sorry?
Well, it's kind of more specific to the level. It might say like something about this enemy which is around the corner, and so it might be the person looking at the TV can, you know, let you know what the cat's telling him. It's kind of weird when you say that out loud. But it's got really cool art style, and I recommend this game so far, even though I've only put a small amount of time into it. The other recent game I've picked up, which also unfortunately I haven't put a huge amount of time in, is Mario Golf World Tour on the 3DS. And it's a game I was actually looking forward to for quite some time, but just I've been absolutely hectic recently, moving house. But I do plan on putting more time into this shortly. But first reactions, first impressions are very good. And it also has some vibes from kind of the old portable games where you had that RPG mode. Now, it doesn't go full hog and give you the full RPG mode, but it does let you have your character as your me, and you can kind of walk around the castle, and you can select a different tournaments and courses in, you know, in a similar looking environment to before. You just kind of can't leave that castle, but there's lots of customization options, and also there's a lot of online options in the game now, which is very cool. And one of the online features it has is customizable tournaments, and we already, although I've not yet participated, we have a Nintendo Mario Golf tournament set up. And I'll also mention this one at the end of the show, just in case you don't have a pen or something ready now, but our tournament code is 53-5109-9767-9074. And so if you put that code into the tournament mode, you can join us in our Nintendo Mario Golf tournament, which is pretty awesome.
And we'll list that in the podcast descriptor as well.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Are your guys' audio, is it seeming a bit crackling currently?
Mine's fine right now.
It might just be on my side then, but it doesn't matter, we're recording locally, that's cool. Okay, and that pretty much concludes what I've been playing, or what I've managed to play of recent weeks. Thankfully, I'm pretty much settled down in my new place now, so that, in theory, gives me a nice extra time to start actually delving deeper into these games. And yeah, I'm going to see how far we can take the Mario Golf Nintendo tournament. I'm very interested to see who of you listeners have also picked up Mario Golf, and if you have, jump on this tournament and we can see how you compare to us on the staff.
Wait, just one thing I want to ask about Mario Kart World, or Mario Golf. I'm getting way ahead of myself. That's the reason why Mario Kart is so close right now. That's all I'm thinking now. No, with Mario Golf World Tour for you, Lewis, whatever, I mean, is everything kind of just done pretty well as far as, like, when it comes to finding online tournaments or just playing with other people online through the 3DS? Is it just pretty streamlined well, or is it going through the usual Nintendo limitations of how online should be done right, be it matchmaking or those pesky friend codes?
Yeah, well, they've improved quite a lot. I mean, you can just jump in and do an automated matchup type thing. But yeah, I mean, it gives the user now the tools to, you know, create their own tournaments, which is also something which is, you know, is coming to Mario Kart 8. And so you can set up a tournament, you can set up the rules, and you can manage that yourself you can name that, get a code, and, you know, let the world know what that is so they can join in as well. And there's lots of little things like that which help you customize your game and, well, your online game. So it's, I think for Nintendo at least, they are taking some really, really big strides in how they're handling online. Before it would have just been, you know, that one mode where you kind of jumped in and you wouldn't have any communication with each other. But at least now they're kind of giving you the option to, you know, to set up matches with friends or, you know, even tournament options. And that's really cool. And I'm hoping that's going to be a pattern which stays.
They kind of correct on there, but, you know, well, not correct, but actually correct in future games. But it's just, no, like, one of these is, that's just one of the more definitive things about Mario Golf that I've been liking about this version is that, you know, you have those great, you know, the tournament options and just the atmosphere of Mario Golf being the quirky and colorfulness, colorful abilities of the game, and, you know, you've got online to this finally. So, I mean, it's just, what's not to like?
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's got extensive one-player stuff as well, so, you can do the whole customizing your Mii character, getting equipment, and you can even unlock, like, higher powerful versions of the, you know, the usual Mario cast. Loads of different courses in the game, and obviously there's the DLC options as well. But thankfully, it doesn't look like they've actually removed any content to put that in. It's just extra stuff if you've had your fill of everything that the game has to offer. There is still more out there if you want to pay for it, basically. And they've also got that season pass where you can get that discount if you want to get all of that content for one set price. So I think it's cool they're exploring these options. And yeah, I hope it's something they do for future games. Like, I'll be happy to see, like, DLC come on top of Mario Kart 8 at some point. Especially with the amount of courses they've already announced are obviously in the game itself.
It's, what was it, I'll speak as far as characters and courses on Mario Kart. One of the reviews that came out for Mario Kart 8 this week was through Paste Magazine, a publication that's based in, I believe, Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm not sure if the guy who was writing it was joking, because I read his bio at the bottom, he was a comedian on there, but he mentioned in his review, which he praised the game, the lack of skin color diversity in the Mario Kart universe. And I was like, I mean, they added the Koopalings, what else you want?
That's a very good point. Yeah, hopefully that was just his comedic sensibilities. So yeah, we'll move on now from what we've been playing straight on to the Nintendo news. Our first item we have for this evening is not the greatest of news, which is Philips is basically suing Nintendo because of allegedly using their patents on the motion control. There's two specific patents mentioned, which are the virtual body control device and the user interface based on a pointing device. So, in very broad terms, they kind of do describe the Wii Remote and some other things Nintendo have done in the last few years or the last two generations of consoles. And it's very early days on this one. It might be something which Nintendo, you know, settles out of court. It might be something which drags on. It's hard to tell at this point. But the kind of the worrying news is if it doesn't get settled out of court and it is taken seriously, Philips are trying to basically ban Wii/Wii U sales for the duration of, I'm not sure what you call this as an entity, but in terms of the investigation.
I was like, for the immediate future.
Oh yeah, until a decision is decided upon what is happening, as it were.
This is like something that I feel like Nintendo's gone through these multiple times with like patent lawsuits with based on the Wii, like the Wiimote motion technology. And before when we were looking at notes on this, I totally expected probably when I read said Philips sues Nintendo, and I didn't read the rest of the top of the title of the article. It's like, Oh, I guess Philips is suing it back over from the Philips CDI days just for quite a shoddy piece of hardware. I mean, you'd think it'd be the other way around. Nintendo sues Philips for their control over, you know, for really three awful, godforsaken, awful Zelda titles.
Yeah, I have yet to play one of those CDI Nintendo games.
It's something you can't unsee, and I treated playing like that like I watch a movie called The Room. You know it's bad,
and
it's just a bit of a miracle to watch. This was a miracle to play, and I'm just going to leave it at that because the memories are coming back, and there's a good chance I might just click out of this conversation and go into a corner and into a fetal position and just cry all night.
Oh dear. Well, it's I think it's a bit too early to make a decision either way of, you know, the likeness of what is going to happen around this. But it's definitely not the first time someone has at least claimed that Nintendo is using their technology. And a lot of it has been around the Wii in terms of motion control. And I guess it's just because that is kind of a area of technology that a lot of people put a lot of time and investment in. And creating patents around it. But it's just going to be one we're going to have to wait and see. Hopefully it doesn't come to any sort of, you know, freezing of sales of the Wii U. I don't think Nintendo would really let it come to that either, to be fair. But yeah, that's going to be one we're going to have to wait on. See what happens on there.
Yeah, I mean, these things kind of pop up all the time. I mean, it just, you have companies like this today that just sue over technology or patent lawsuits. And like you said, some of these get settled out of court. And some of these are just, you know, you always have things like this come in bits of, like, you know, technology successes, be it with Sony, Microsoft, or even Nintendo. These just happen.
Yes, definitely. So we'll move on to some lighter news now, which is Square Enix are considering overseas release for Dragon Quest X. And this news comes from this news comes from a financial meeting and was apparently some information on one of the briefing slides during this. And so, after a long time of it being released in Japan, we may even see Dragon Quest X coming out in America, coming out in Europe. What do we all think about this? Is this a game we'd like to see come out over here?
Question was, okay, Dragon Quest IX was just recently released about, what was it? 3-4 years ago?
Oh, sorry. This being the DS game.
Oh, the DS, okay. Did that ever come over stateside? I am totally blind to that.
Oh, yeah, we did get 9. Yeah, we had 9 on the DS.
Okay, we did get 9. All right, no, my bad.
So this is 10. So this was originally a Wii game, and this is the MMO. So it's a very weird game for Square to make, very different from the normal Dragon Quest game. Originally came out on the Wii, then it came out onto the Wii U, but it was only been in Japan. And yeah, it's been out for a couple years now. So it'd be interesting to see how the West market took, if, you know, the game come out, could they market it like it was, you know, just the brand new next thing? Personally, I would love to see it.
You know, there's an audience for it out there. In the grand scheme of things, between Dragon Quest and even Final Fantasy in Japan, Dragon Quest has been known as far as that one series that has been fairly more popular over in that country since both series were conceived around the same time. So, now we're talking about a Wii U version or another 3DS version of this.
This would be the Wii U version.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
See, I think it'd be great to see an original Dragon Quest, a new one, come out for the Wii, you know, exclusively for the Wii U. I think that game still has, you know, a big brand to it, and, you know, it's, you know, a original RPG. Yeah, I'd love to get my teeth into that.
Yeah, it's good news, but to me, it's not, like, amazing, like, hype-producing news, because I'm not super familiar with the franchise. That's something that I didn't really grow up with. And I think I've only played one game in the series, and it's, like, the first game, I think. Dragon Warrior for the NES. I have that and have played that a little bit, and that's all the experience whatsoever I have with the series. And, you know, I've seen screenshots and concept art for more recent games in the series, but it's really cartoony nowadays, it seems like, and none of that translates to me to, you know, being related at all to Dragon Warrior. So, yeah, I guess somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but Dragon Warrior, that's the only Dragon Quest game that I've ever played. So, yeah, it'll be good, and it seems like my type of game, and so I'd probably actually get it, but as for the moment, it's just kind of, oh, good. Good for the Wii U. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd also just be good in kind of confidence of the franchise for us to have it. Because, I mean, as soon as you kind of miss a numbered game of a series, then it kind of puts question of, will the next game in the series actually come out worldwide, or is it something which is now Japan only? So on that sake alone, I would like to see it come out worldwide, just so we can almost secure, you know, these, because they are big games, and it's a big franchise with a lot of history, and history of Nintendo as well. I'd like to see these keep coming out over here. Even though it is quite late, I would still like to see it come out. Even if it was just to secure, Dragon Quest XI's release over here, and so that isn't just kind of announced and released in Japan only in a similar way this game has been so far.
I mean, I keep saying I mean right here. It wouldn't hurt to bring it over here, but it's just, as far as trying to move units here in the States and maybe Europe, I'm unlikely. I mean, I feel like over the years, Dragon Quest has a niche market out there, as opposed to a wide appeal that it has in Japan, opposed to what it has a wide appeal in Japan. And here, it just, I mean, maybe once you get it, probably around that same time when you get X out and probably roll out some good RPGs, yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're definitely not crowded by RPGs on the Wii U currently. And I should have done my research on this one. But it is possibly that, I can't remember if this one was Nintendo published or not. I know Nintendo published 9, at least outside Japan, or at least definitely in Europe. It just seems with Nintendo having quite a big stake in this game, and they must have did some sort of deal, in fact, to keep this exclusive, because although it may not be huge over here, it is huge in Japan. And being a Nintendo exclusive, Nintendo must have done a lot of work behind the scenes to make that a reality. So, yeah, it just seems odd if Nintendo does have some say in it coming out worldwide, why they wouldn't take advantage of that. I mean, it's a game which is already made. It obviously needs a fair amount of localization, but it helps with that release schedule as well. But yeah, I mean, obviously you can see what side I'm on. I mean, more games are the better for the Wii U, and yeah, I mean, especially with such a legacy as Dragon Quest. But yeah, we'll move on now to a 3DS title announcement, or at least confirmation about it coming out worldwide. This is for Pokemon Art Academy, which has been confirmed it will also come out in America for the fall. And so that is now confirmed for both America and Europe. And
Europe's getting it sooner though, right?
We are, I believe. I think we're getting it, well, I think it's a couple months earlier. But it is an interesting spin on the Art Academy brand they've built up. And I think they'll probably sell quite a few copies of this.
I agree. Pokemon, for one thing, is huge. But the thing with Pokemon is that, you know, there's like hundreds of species. And I don't know about any of you guys, but I think Pokemon fans, you know, young kids who are Pokemon fans today, love to just draw these Pokemon. And I did too when I was little. And so, yeah, I think it has good chances for sure, especially with all those thousands upon thousands of 3DS systems that were sold because of Pokemon X and Y. So, yeah, it's going to be a popular one for sure.
You know, I know it's a tricky one to say. You know, obviously Nintendo is selling, you know, both a portable console and a home console, and they've got their reasons to, you know, put content on one and not the other. But it's a shame that this isn't also coming out for the Wii U, because the Art Academy, you know, Sketchpad app they've got on there is awesome. And the, you know, the quality of art you can see people upload onto Miiverse is very impressive. So it would have been very cool to also see this come along to the Wii U. Even if you want to buy it yourself, just so you could, like, pop onto the Miiverse community and see that art on your TV. Although I guess you will be able to do a do that on a smaller scale on your 3DS. But yeah, I think this is a game they should be on Wii U as well. You know, you got that big touchscreen on your middle of your gamepad.
Yeah, as far as drawing goes, I mean, the Wii U or the gamepad is, you know, like a huge upgrade from the 3DS touchscreen. And so, yeah, that's another question that you could ask. But I think, I mean, Pokemon X and Y are on the 3DS. And so I think that's probably the biggest reason it's a 3DS game. But it's like you say, I mean, it could easily come out on the Wii U as well. Who knows? Maybe they're actually working on something similar, or maybe the exact same thing for Wii U, and we just don't know yet. But
that's a very good point. Yeah,
it's yeah, and
good questions to ask.
I mean, I'm not familiar as much as far as the Art. I mean, I never did get a chance to try Art Academy, whatever, for the Wii U as well. But this one is just to refresh me. It's all Pokemon templates, right?
Pokemon Art Academy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just templates, okay. And I'm just a little surprised why they're doing this as far as on the 3DS as opposed to the Wii U. I guess knowing that we have the Pokemon franchise that has been widely successful on handhelds is being the reason.
Sounds like a good reason to me. I think most of the Art Academy games have come out on the DS, and I think there's one Lessons for Everyone on the 3DS. So, yeah, that's another thing. It's kind of a handheld franchise, mostly at this point.
That is true, actually, and thinking about it, the Art Academy, which is on the Wii U, is kind of like a limited form of it, because what the DS and the 3DS versions are about are like also having lessons and kind of teaching you about different ways of, you know, applying art and having different references and, you know, telling you to do certain specific things and building you up to drawing different paintings, whereas the app on the Wii U is basically just giving you the tools and letting you create what you want, opposed to having the lessons part of it. So it might be that, you know, because they already have that stuff already in place on the 3DS, it just made more sense to make this game for that. And it's been a while now, so I can't remember what their stance was, but I believe they said they were going to be eventually having lessons onto the Sketchpad Wii U game, and they would come as download content.
Like, but lessons would mean as, like, you know, they would show you videos for this. I mean, it's not like somebody would come to your house and be like, hey, I could show you this. I'm like, who are you? Oh, I came with a game. I'm basically the guy who's going to teach you. I'm like, okay, yeah. How do I introduce myself? You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure it was exactly video itself, but yeah, there's like some sort of like, it will tell you what to do in, like, I think it was mainly like text and images you kind of like scroll through. I've not gone through any of the lessons myself, so I can't say. There might be video content in there as well. But yeah, I believe they said they were going to be doing extra download stuff for the Wii version, but they've not mentioned anything since.
Yeah, I seem to remember that too, so.
You never know, we're
waiting on you, Nintendo.
We may hear in a couple of weeks' time. On their digital event. They might have some news on Art Academy. So moving on now, we have a Kickstarter-related news story. And today we have Red Goddess Inner World, which has a couple weeks left on Kickstarter and already is at 90% of its goal. And the reason why we're mentioning it here is because its initial goal also covers a Wii U release. And so the game is called Red Goddess Inner World, and it is a platformer, Metroidvania of sorts. And the main character can split up into these two different elemental creatures, and also jump into the minds of enemies, which looks pretty cool. At which point you kind of see a level which is their mind, and you can do different puzzles and so on inside there to either defeat that enemy or to solve puzzles outside, I believe. It all looks pretty cool. And it's, although it is a 2D platformer, it's all, you know, crafted in a 3D world as such. And it's a very, very beautiful looking game. It's, especially at the early stage it is. And what I think is really cool about this is they've got some demos, which you can just download straight on the Kickstarter page. So you don't have to take this like huge leap of faith in terms of what's going to be produced on, you know, in a year's time or so on. You can, you know, have a little play of what the game is like currently. But yeah, I mean, I'd recommend listeners to check out Red Goddess on Kickstarter. It's, in my opinion, a very cool looking Kickstarter game heading Wii U's way. And I've also got some a secret stealth announcement to make here, which is I'm actually working with the guys behind Red Goddess to have some sort of Twisted Fusion cameo or crossover. Not entirely sure what it's going to involve yet. On the very minimum level, it's going to be at least some sort of promotional art with Cora and their character together. But it may end up involving having playable characters of each other in each other's games. Not sure how far it's going to go yet, but yeah, we're going to be doing some cool things with them, and it should be interesting to see these kind of Wii U games kind of have a little cross-reference with each other.
I'm looking at these rewards right now for Red Goddess, and you know, the standard one you would have for 10... Well, before I get into that one, Noda, I mean, again, congratulations, Lewis, and, you know, aside from Twisted Fusion finally moving forward as far as past its goal, but how hard would it be actually to bring your character into this, though? Would it be, I mean, how, well, I mean, what, are there That's any me. any limitations, or would you just have to design based on their engine?
So, I mean, it's hard for me to answer how hard it is for them to add my character into their game, but what I can say is it's entirely possible for their character to end up in Twisted Fusion. Mainly because it does have that, as you mentioned, it did hit that stretch goal where it's got that four-player mode. And so there's going to be, you know, character select, and there was rewards for different custom characters to enter the game. And so it's already going to have, you know, a multitude of characters and a character select for the multiplayer. And so, yeah, it's entirely possible to add an extra character into Twisted Fusion. So, yeah, that would be pretty cool if we can do that.
But going back, I was looking at the rewards of this, and for any of the backers, and here's one of the more expensive ones on here, but I'm going through. If you back $500, you get the game, well, two games, poster map, manual, original soundtrack, a special skin, a drawing, art book, an ebook, a figurine, and, well, your name on the credits, special skin based on you, $750, you get everything that I mentioned above, but a hand-painted canvas, $1,000. Everything that was based on that. A creature designed with you, that's another one for $1,000. And the final one, $1,500. You get everything that I just mentioned above, but you get the one they add on here, a boss or NPC created with you.
So yeah, it's pretty cool rewards.
I know. I've always wanted to have my own boss design. I know it probably wouldn't be the most PC thing out there, but you know.
But now, despite my kind of my vested interest in this already, the reason being is it kind of started because I was a backer of the project. I just thought it looked really cool. Some of my own money in, and just somehow ended up talking to the guys behind it. But, you know, I do think that looks really awesome. And yeah, the great news is it's looking like it's going to be easily funded. I've not looked into what their stretch goals yet, but it's very, very possible that they hit some of them as well by the time it ends.
And it should probably reach it. It's just got like maybe 17 or 18 days left, and I think all they need is from their $30,000 goal is around.
I think they're already in the last 10% now.
Yeah, a little under $2,000, I think. That's what they need. So if you want your own boss, go ahead and get that.
So I think it's time for some Smash news now. And it was actually, I think, from today's screenshot, or I guess yesterday's, we found out that there's going to be some alternative villagers, including female villager. So essentially there's like four different villager characters that you can choose from as your four different costumes. And although it's very cool to see the male and the female villagers, and the two variations of them as well, I think this kind of almost confirms that we're going to be seeing more of this amongst different characters. You know, it's hard to tell with Sakurai's announcements. You know, it might just be down, you know, it might just be the villager, it might just be the Wii Fit trainer. I'm not sure if anyone else is confirmed to have different alternative outfits or kind of characters, as it were. But I think we might see some more of this, and maybe in some of the standard characters as well.
Well, I wouldn't leave it out of the question as far as, well, when I first saw the screenshot, my first impression was, well, fear of this was that I'm like, oh, great, here come the clone characters, you know, something I wish they would just balance out or take away. And luckily, looking through all this, yeah, we haven't seen a heavy, like, pretty much not that many, none at all in, like, the lineup, like, the current roster at this moment. But I don't think they'll be different in any way, probably just designs, the way that they're, like, just their designs as far as how their moves are, but as far as, how powerful they are, I don't think nothing will change. I mean, we already seen for the Wii Fit Trainer, you get male and female, and I'm sure probably if you, trying to think of another one that they're trying to change. I mean, same thing with Samus's suits. I'm sure probably Sakurai would probably put, like, aside from the usual gravity suit that you can put on there, I'm sure that we'll probably see, I don't know, maybe different designs on there, like some for Metroid Prime or anything like that that are put into there. But that could be a stretch for me because, you know, Samus's design on there is based on the Metroid Other M design. Maybe they'll add some few surprises or something.
Yeah, I'm hoping we do have some kind of costume surprises. Yeah, it'd be great to see some of, you know, Samus's different outfits. But as well, like, in terms of Mario, I think Dr. Mario should just be one of his alternative outfits now.
I would, you know, that's nothing wrong with that. Although, if you were to use, like, you know, Mario's fireballs as opposed to, you know, well, I think they would just get rid of the pills and just use the fireballs instead, but it'd be kind of look real weird design-wise, but I would tolerate, again, no clone characters. Just stretch out the roster as far as new ones if you can, but have a healthy balance to it.
You know, I think this is a clever way of kind of tackling that clone problem. Because they don't have to take up different character slots. Like, I think it would be cool to, say, have Daisy as an alternative costume for Peach. And so it doesn't take up an extra character slot. The moves will be identical, but it's just, you know, a different skin. And because there are some characters like that in the Nintendo universe, which are basically the same as some other characters. So it would be good if they can, you know, use that to just, you know, have different skins for different characters, and you can just visually have a lot more characters in the game than you would have before. Or you kind of had them wasted on clone characters.
And that's what I'm hoping for. I mean, like I said, just the clone characters, when you've seen from Melee and even Brawl, it just kind of was it created a false sense of security when it came to its roster, thinking like, oh, there's a lot of roster, but you're getting a lot of the same characters with different skins and toned down moves. I mean, maybe the fact that they're doing this away is because they're cutting characters, or they want to focus more, like, you know, retire some characters. I mean, we haven't seen Wario, or we haven't seen Captain Falcon, Jigglypuff, or, God, who else? I'm trying to think of any characters from Earthbound. And that's a surprising thing. I'm surprised we haven't seen any characters from Earthbound.
Yeah, no, there's a few key characters missing. And again, it's probably... I imagine we're going to see a bunch of new characters in a couple of weeks' time as well, when E3 hits. I imagine they'll use that as another way to kind of release some awesome Smash trailers.
I like how you said that in plural as opposed to singular.
They kind of do like a character, you know, a trailer per character announcement. It seems to be their thing. So I think we'll see more than one new character revealed at E3. And so I reckon they'll be broken off into little trailers, like kind of how the Wii Fit trainer was handled in last year's E3. She was just like her own weird announcement one day.
Weird announcement as far as something coming out of nowhere. I think it was during that press event where they had on the E3 show floor where they did that. Because I remember it was like, big announcement coming in 20 minutes. And I was like, what could this be? I'm like, new character, Wii Fit trainer. I was like, this a joke?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were hoping for a Metroid reveal at that point. So we're quite annoyed when the Wii Fit trainer turned up. Anyway, that's the hype train for you.
All aboard.
Okay, so yeah, we're not going to be discussing the hype train this week, nor are we going to be covering our E3 predictions, which is going to be on next week's show. The feature slot for tonight is on Nintendo Sport Games. And this is kind of in celebration of Mario Golf World Tour and our Infendo Mario Golf Tournament, which is currently ongoing. And so we're going to have a discussion over some of our favourite sport games which have graced Nintendo platforms. And so these don't have to be games made by Nintendo, nor do they have to be Mario sport games, although I'm sure we'll mention quite a few of those.
When you mentioned not made by Nintendo, are we talking multi-platform games on here? I mean,
we can be.
I mean, yeah, it could. I mean, just the interesting of the discussion, I think we're talking about, you know, there are defunct Nintendo sports franchises, be from the NES and Super Nintendo days, that we don't see anymore, but also were developed by, Left Field Studios, something like that used to be a subsidiary from Nintendo, but is no longer anymore. But, you know, we could do that.
Yeah, I think we'll keep this fairly open. If there's anything which comes to mind, you know, feel free to mention it. And, I mean, we don't have a huge amount of, like, sport game choices, you know, third party or otherwise on the Wii U currently. I open this up to, yeah, any sign of any sport game which has been on a Nintendo platform. Anything particular comes to mind?
Well, when I was little, my family had this game called NBA Hang Time. I don't think this was a first-party Nintendo game, but it was on the Nintendo 64. And me and my siblings loved playing that game. You could, enter in codes and get these weird cheats that would allow, the characters' heads to be huge or allowed you to play as, these weird-looking alien characters. And... it was just a pretty simple basketball game. It was almost like arcade-like. In fact, I think maybe that series began in the arcades. But yeah, it was just, you know, two people on each team. And mostly what I would do was, I played by myself a lot, actually. But I would pick a character who was really good at shooting three-pointers. And I would just shoot three-point shots the whole time in one little corner, the right-hand bottom corner of the court. That's where I would shoot my threes from, and it just, you know, seemed to work. And when you're a kid and you find something like that that works, especially in a sports game, you just use it and you enjoy it. Repetitiveness is, you know, nothing when you're a kid. You enjoy anything, no matter how many times you experience it. So that game was a lot of fun. I haven't played a whole lot of sports games, though. I mean, that one just kind of pops into my head as one of those that I played. But I haven't played most of these, so I don't know. My list of games that I've actually played, sports-wise, is pretty pathetic, honestly. But 1080 also sticks out. That's one of my favorite N64 games, period. I don't know why, but I just love that game. I think it has something to do with the physics. It was just very realistic feeling to me, and it still is, actually. I played through the game kind of recently, you know, maybe several months ago. Probably last summer, actually, so it might have been about a year ago that I played through the game. And that, I would love a remake, or not even just a remake, but a brand new game in the 1080 series. That would be awesome to me. A remake, honestly, would be fine with me too, especially if they treated it like they treated Ocarina of Time 3D. Yeah, that'd be awesome. But, you know, other than that, not super familiar with most of these. Haven't even played Punch-Out.
I just wanted to check, have you played the 1080, which came out onto the GameCube, Avalanche?
I never did get a chance to get that.
I never did play that.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely recommend hunting out a copy. Because that's one of my favourite GameCube games, oddly enough. I really, really like 1080 Avalanche. It's not a game I hear a lot of people talk about when talking over the best GameCube games. But it just kind of feels quite a bit different for a snowboarding game. It's basically you're trying to get from the top of the mountain to the bottom kind of as fast as you can. But the courses themselves, or the mountains, they're kind of almost like events. Like something will normally be happening, whether it is an actual avalanche you're kind of racing against, or there will be like some sort of, I don't know, like explosion which happens near the beginning, which starts a chain reaction of things happening. And it just feels like there's a lot of stuff going on. And it kind of really captures, like, the fact that you're going, or you're meant to be going at a really fast speed down this mountain very well. And I think it has, like, some blur effects or some other things. But, that game just kind of still really works for me. I still play that on not on a regular basis, but I do like to kind of dig that game out fairly frequently. Because... yeah, I have a lot of fun on Avalanche, so I'd recommend anyone who can still play GameCube games, if they got an original Wii or a GameCube hanging around, check out a second-hand copy of that game.
Actually, it looks like, I mean, I'm looking at it on Amazon right now, looks like a new copy, and I don't, because, Amazon will give you, like, the big price, and it usually means, like, brand new, and it says $25.39, and that's, not very much. On here, and so gosh, I might be able to get like a new copy for fairly cheap, so I will definitely look into that and add it to my
awesome
rather extensive list of games that I have to buy.
Add to the back catalog.
Well, I'll probably put it pretty high on my priorities list, because it does look like a lot of fun, and like I say, I loved 1080 snowboarding for the N64, so yeah.
To be fair, if it's a game you like, you'll for good or for bad, you'll kind of blaze for it. It's in terms of just like covering the courses and going through it's not really a story mode, but going through like the main mode, it won't take long at all if it's a game you like. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. It kind of feels quite arcadey and has a lot of replay value to it.
Yeah, sometimes it's just fun to go back and play 1080 for the N64, which I have downloaded on my Wii, of course. So yeah, I can imagine getting a lot of fun out of this one.
How about you, Harrison?
Oh, to me? Oh, the sports fanatic here, the one who tends to shut up about it on Twitter. I know. Just the usuals that I've enjoyed, but I will get the more quirky. I mean, as far as stuff that's outside of Nintendo, I mean, well, from growing up, I played soccer all my life, or football to everyone, our foreign or friends in the UK and Europe. I'm sorry. Us Americans are very, we're a little dim-witted when we call it, so I'm guessing that's the reason why the U.S. has not won a World Cup, is because we call it soccer, but I digress. I've been a long-time soccer player, but I never got into the FIFA titles. It's a really strange way for me to explain it. Maybe it's because, I didn't really enjoy seeing something played out on there, knowing as far as action and strategy, but, yes, when I was playing in the real world, I got my fun and my competitiveness out of this one. Whereas FIFA, I never could feel that. Yet I see friends who are never played soccer, or, probably as little kids, but not in high school or collegiate level or anything like that. It's just they enjoy FIFA. But for someone who never played hockey his entire life, but grew up loving the sport, I was a huge fan of the NHL series. Most of the time I've been playing on my 360, but also NHL 15 is coming out probably this fall. Oh, by the way, hashtag NHL Oshie 15. You know what it means. Just tweet it out. I don't care. Just for the cover vote. But you probably don't understand that at the moment. But no, it's I just like how EA has refined the NHL series over each iteration, be it from fighting mechanics, stick like controls, and well, just how balanced it is right now. Balanced in creativity, you can get into your make a team, make a league, and each version, I believe, that comes out, I mean, it improves upon the previous one. Sometimes not by a lot, but sometimes by much. And it's been a while since I picked up one in about 2 years or so. But it's one of those series that I feel like EA takes a lot of good attention to finally doing something better. Whereas I feel like they've kind of failed in a series like Madden, because when EA has a monopoly on the football franchise, like the American football franchise, it's, well, on a monopoly on the NFL. Sorry, I'm getting really weird on this. You know, there's no room for too much improvement aside when people usually criticize sports games thinking it's just year after year, just update your rosters. That's it. You know, but that's what some will get especially, but I feel like the crime against that, the biggest crime to that is from the Madden series, which I feel I haven't really gotten to the point to go to it. It's just, it's like, what other improvements have you made to this? But aside from my multi-platform titles out there, the usuals, like I said, 1080 and the 64, Punch-Out, Mario Kart, Wii Sports and Resort, but back to the NES days, you know, golf, ice hockey, you know, ice hockey, for instance, you could play with three different players, be it skinny guy, average guy, or fat guy, and
what could you need?
That's your style there, whatever. And yes, you could have a whole team of fat guys on there. I'm sure it'd be well as your own checking line. But it's going through probably the one I played a lot on my 64 was Wave Race 64. I probably did every little nook and cranny to unlock new courses and beat on each difficult like each. Course on or each course on every difficulty, but I didn't see it that much of like that same excitement when I got Wave Race Blue Storm on my GameCube the year it came out, the console launched. Probably because I think at the time there was only four racers you could choose through in Blue Storm, which is when you look at it, it's pretty disappointing. And that and the course selection, while at the time water effects for that game were beautiful, but that and changing weather effects, which again, a lot of people thought was innovative at the time, but back then I was just like, who cares? And you know, it was a little underwhelming. But I will say, as much as I go back for like the original Excitebike for like short little bursts and parties, whatever, if I bust out the NES or on my Wii U Virtual Console, I will. I was a huge fan of Excitebike 64. One, knowing that this is a kind of like Nintendo took its own chance of like updating the franchise from just a quirky motocross racer to just 3D, where it was a pretty good competitive, like, you know, good racer to have competitive multiplayer matches with. Well, sans the slowdown. But, yeah, like, you know, Excitebike 64, ice hockey on the NES, it's just, those were ones that I remember being my favorite sports titles. I mean, some of you saying, why aren't you mentioning the Mario titles? Lastly, I mean, I have a love of Mario Golf. Yes, I haven't picked up World Tour. I have not picked up World Tour yet for my 3DS. But the one that I always hold dear to my heart is Mario Golf on the Game Boy Color, because that was the one that I think was the one Mario Golf title that I delved straight into and played so many on different road trips with my family. Just the RPG elements of raising up your golfer on this whole career mode to it, and it made golf to me simple, thinking I was going in, you know, it's Mario Golf, but I mean, it's, haven't been the biggest fan of golf as far as playing, because I can't drive a ball worth crap, and it took me to the point where, yes, it took a colorful game based on its limitations of on a handheld, but made golf fun. To me, that is.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to echo your thoughts on Mario Golf for the Game Boy Color. Yeah, that was a fantastic game. I was kind of blown away by that RPG mode initially, and yeah, it's a surprising amount of depth in a Game Boy game that was.
And I'm shocked I haven't even put, I'm shocked with myself that I haven't picked it up for the Game Boy Virtual Console, my 3DS. I mean, there's quite a few on there that I still need to, and but probably the fact that I've neglected my 3DS for the last 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if the promotion's still on or that it was worldwide, but I know when I purchased when I purchased Mario Golf World Tour, it came with a free copy of the Game Boy Color Virtual Console title.
What, in the UK?
Yeah, I saw it kind of just on the eShop screen. I was surprised to see it. I didn't know it was a thing. I was like, okay, yep, I'm in for that, because I wasn't...
I was like, thanks, yeah.
Because I was just kind of browsing the eShop, and I wasn't necessarily on there to buy Mario Golf, just looking at what's new. But when I saw it, it came with that promotion, with the, you know, the Game Boy Color game as well, I was like, all right, that's swung it for me. I may not have the full time to put into it now, but I will definitely appreciate having the Game Boy Color version as well, just having it on top. So yeah, we've talked about a lot of lots of sports games which have come onto Nintendo systems in general, and we've touched a little on the Mario ones, but I think it's worth if we go around just kind of trying to kind of decide what our favourite of the Mario series is in terms of sports, and if we I'm not sure if we're including kart in this. Is karting a sport?
Well, if you want to argue with some people who think NASCAR is a sport, I mean, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not. I mean, it's the world of watching something. It's like, you know, yes, I watch stock car racing to see people take left turns all day. But no, it's I would generally consider it, but more karting.
It's almost his own thing, though, isn't it? Saying
yeah,
that.
I'd consider karting on there. Yeah, that works.
But then again, I mean, just talking about Mario Golf, I think it's possibly my favorite of the it's kind of series in general for the Mario sports things. I'm just looking. Tennis is pretty good. My highlight in tennis was definitely the 64 version. Just having, you know, some people around the TV playing Mario Tennis on the 64. That was very fun. I find it a bit hard to go back to, though. And I don't think the tennis games which have followed it have been that great. So yeah, I think it's definitely the golf for me.
Me, it's as far as the Mario series, it's a tie between golf and kart. Mainly because golf gave me that other alternative to the sport franchises that Mario was starred in that I generally never really went gaga over. But, you know, something as far as the golf series has progressed with each iteration has made me come back, but also, you know, made something that, like, you know, a bit of an enjoyable experience to kind of delve into, even if there's other better alternatives to the golf series, be it, you know, Tiger Woods PGA or even Hot Shots. Karting, you know, it's the standalone kart title out there in the industry at this moment, so you can't deny that, whatever, especially with 8 coming out.
It's definitely the gold standard in terms of kart racing. There's nothing quite as close to Mario Kart, is there? So how about you, Holly? What would be your favourite in the Mario Sports series?
Well, if Mario Kart does count, then it's definitely that, hands down. But if we're chalking just, you know, what people might consider actual sports... and, you know, Mario Kart, it's not that sporty. The Mario Kart series, to me, is more arcadey, almost. So I wouldn't say it counts. But if we're considering, you know, other sports games starring Mario, I guess, I don't think I've even played one, except for Mario Sports Mix.
Oh, I've not actually played that, but I didn't hear favorable things.
Yeah, it wasn't all that great. Most of the sports were just kind of lame, and volleyball was actually quite a lot of fun in that, okay. But, you know, it's just a game that I rented and played a little bit and didn't like it all that much,
I think, oddly enough, that was developed by Square Enix, Mario Sports Mix.
Yeah, you are correct, Abby. I'm going to look that up right now. Just keep talking.
I don't know how that particular partnership formed. Like,
they should not be allowed to make sports games, clearly.
Yeah, I don't know what history Square Enix has in making sport games either. But sorry, I digress. Harley, carry on.
But yeah, that's about it. I've never played a Mario golf game. I've never played a Mario tennis game. I've never played a Mario soccer game. Sadly.
Striker.
Well, I had some friends who were way into...
Strikers, I've heard.
Strikers, yeah. Mario Striker. That's soccer, right?
It is, yes.
Okay, yeah. Had some friends who loved that, but I never was all that willing to play, honestly. Because I'm not even into sports in real life. Like, my brother is way into, you know, like ESPN and basketball. That's kind of his thing. But I'm not even, like, into that. I mean, the NBA playoffs are going on, like, right now, I guess. The only reason I even know that is because of my brother. He'll spend quite a lot of time watching those on TV. So, in general, I'm just not that into sports and have not played, like, I have not played a Mario sports game that I have liked. Obviously, I've had a poor sampling, but, yeah, that's just the way it is for me. I really just need to be introduced, I guess, to a good Mario sports game.
Yeah, we've gone around kind of our kind of favourites and memorable sport games on Nintendo systems, our Mario sport games, and although it has been mentioned in passing, I don't think we can kind of go, you know, finish this segment without paying Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort more of a homage than it has been. Although, you know, despite the word being in the title there, it may not be what people think of as a sports game. It definitely had a big impact. I know a lot of people have talked about the impact Mario Sports has, but it was just such a fun game as well. And yeah, a very good variety, you know, great pack-in game for a system.
Fantastic pack-in. Exactly. For as simple as it is, it was still, I mean, it moved consoles, so.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, just beyond that as well, it was just a really fun game, and I think a lot of us and a lot of people listening probably put a lot of hours into Wii Sports just with their friends and family. I definitely think that deserves a mention here. And hopefully, I'd like to see that carry on. I mean, the Wii U versions aren't that great in my opinion. I mean, they kind of do the job. But I'd like to see Nintendo at some point kind of revisit it afresh. And see what else they could do just with new sports and you know, some new motion control. I definitely think that's something they could continue doing. Yeah, I've had, you know, lots and lots of fun with that, with kind of players of all ages.
Well, Wii Sports Resort kind of did that, but I don't know, just did not have the same impact as the original Wii Sports did, so I don't think it, you know, was as big of a thing as Nintendo had kind of hoped it would be. Wii Sports Resort is, you know, that one's pretty fun. There are a few games that I would call duds on that.
That's true, yeah, but there were quite a lot of them on there. Now, I did like Resort as a package as well, and obviously that gave us Motion Plus. But yeah, I mean, table tennis on that is pretty fun.
Yeah, I really liked, what was it called? Wakeboarding?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. I really liked that for some reason.
She's saying it.
More as a, like, workout for my arms than anything else. Like, holding your arms out straight and, like, you know, popping them up, you know, to, you know, get these big jumps and tricks. That is actually quite tiring after a while, so. But archery. So, yeah.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, that reminds me of my favorite one from that collection, which is archery. I've built up some local archery rivals on Wii Sports Resort. And that's a good game to pop in every now and again, just to test out your old archery skills.
Yep. And, you know, swordplay wasn't that bad either. Swordplay, like Showdown, the single player mode that you could do with swordplay, that was actually, I don't know, to me that was just plain satisfying, just like mowing down these enemies with your sword. Yeah, that was awesome.
that was pretty fun. We've covered a kind of a nice range here. Are there any kind of games anyone wants to kind of mention before we kind of wrap this one all up? We covered all bases here.
I mean, we've gone through. I mean, there's been quite a few defunct Nintendo-based sports titles, like, you know, NHL Stanley Cup on the Super Nintendo, and then there was NBA Courtside featuring Kobe Bryant. I mean, the last one, I think that was that was on the GameCube back in 2002. And then after that, I think it was like the guys who developed that was Left Field Studios, or Productions, I'm getting the name wrong, but they were just a second-party subsidiary of Nintendo, and I think they left about midway through the GameCube's life cycle. And since then, I think the sports simulation titles that Nintendo put out just kind of went off the wayside.
For me, like, the not-so-honorable mention goes to Mario and Sonic at the Olympics.
Oh, yes, of course.
Which isn't on this list. Also, I noticed Track and Field is on here. That was the one that used the, like, pad thing that you could run on, right?
Oh, you could also play it just mashing buttons in the traditional sense. I think there's a lot of...
Well, the pad is obviously the way to go. And my siblings and I used to play that and just really get a kick out of it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who had kind of the old Track and Field blisters on their thumbs just for trying to break records. Just mashing those buttons as quick as you can.
Yep, that's not a memory of mine. Knocking stuff over by, you know, like running so hard that we like shake the house. That's my memory.
Okay, and I think that does wrap up our favorite Nintendo sport game segment. And with that, the show itself. As always, you can send your questions and comments to us at contact@infendo.com. And as we're doing our special game show E3 predictions show next week, let us know your predictions for E3 as well to the same address. And if you're listening to this on the website itself, into the comments below, any questions or comments you have, or anything you think Nintendo may reveal during their E3 showing. And with that, this has been Infendo Radio. Thank you very much for listening.
See you, everybody.
Bye, guys.